A podcast that shines a light on the positive, healthy, hopeful projects going on in Humboldt County. We'll talk about things that are happening to help everyone live a better life and what things you can do in your corner of the world. Look, we know about the problems. We talk about them, read about them in the news, and see it every day too. That's what drives us to want better and to be part of the good. My name is Juliette Ferry, and I will be your host of the Humboldt Healthcast, which is another community project of the Humboldt IPA here in Eureka. This is Humboldt Healthcast, and I am your host, Juliette Ferry. Today, we are talking with Tyler J. Parr, and you may have heard him on the Lost Coast Outpost podcast, Humboldt Holding Up, talking about his gym and how COVID has impacted that, and also the Black Lives Matter protests. Today's interview, which was recorded on June 20th, a couple weeks ago, we're talking more about men's health and health in general, and how that encompasses a lot of different things, more than just physical health. It's mental health and emotional and spiritual well-being. And here is our interview. Today on Humboldt Healthcast, I'm talking with Tyler J. Parr, and he is the owner and creator of Alpha Fitness Clubs. Thank you for joining me today. Great. So why don't you just tell me about some of the projects that you are involved with, anything that you would like to talk about that are promoting the positive things within community?
Well, let me just give you a little backstory on myself and kind of what I've gone through in this community more recently. I was born and raised here in Humboldt, and I was raised by a single mother. My father wasn't there. And until I was, you know, in my teens, and then he came around. And as a result of that, I believe that was the root cause of my addiction, drug addiction, and my criminality was the lack of a positive male role model in my life. So I, I was involved in gangs, the street life. I spent my the majority of my 20s in and out of the county jails here and other places as well. As well as hospitals and institutions, because of my drug addiction. Almost 4 years ago, about 3.5 years ago, I got out of jail and I was just exhausted from the lifestyle. So I decided to reach out to what is now Waterfront Recovery, but it used to be ADCS. And, they accepted me there as a resident, after about, 2 months in the program. I decided to go to College of the Redwoods to be an addiction studies counselor. And during that time, I was attending yoga at Om Sweat Om Hot Yoga Studio on 5th Street in Eureka, with an instructor named Navina Bird. She's a really awesome person, huge influence in my life as far as fitness goes. She let me actually attend yoga classes and trade for shampooing the carpets once a month, which is really cool. So I was a college student, super broke, clean and sober. I graduated the program after 3 months, and then they asked me to stay on as a resident advisor / junior counselor. So I did that for about, I think it was 6 months. Yeah, I did that for 6 months. So I was there for 9 months altogether. And during that time, I realized that you're broke as a college student. It's really hard to survive.
Yeah.
And also I realized that the job that I wanted, it caps out in this county at like $27 an hour for pay. So I was like, how am I going to pay off my debt and all this stuff with this little $25 an hour paycheck? So I started looking into other trades that pay more and also help people. And personal training was one that came up that interested me more than addiction studies, actually. So I decided to get my certificate. I dropped out of school. I went to Planet Fitness. I worked there for like 10 months as a janitor. Got my personal trainer certificate about 8 months in, I think. And then I went to another gym, that was just specialized in personal training and worked there for, I want to say, 7 months. I saved up 30% of everything that I owned over that. I believe it was like a year and a half time. And I decided to make my own gym. And it was a process. There's been a lot of ups and downs. I had to take out a second business loan last summer.
Sure.
You know, and now after the, I think it's been a year and some change that we've been in business. I figured it out. Like, it works really well. It's really a standalone business if you set it up correctly. And so now I've branched out into like life and relationship coaching as well, which is kind of like what my passion was with addiction studies. Is I just wanted to counsel people and help people. And
yeah.
Part of counseling is just really listening and being attentive. And people usually work their problems out in a counseling session if you just ask the right questions.
Right. They know the answers. They're the expert of them. And so you know a handful of things, more than a handful of life experience and the tools and the questions. And yet when you're pushing your agenda on, like, you really need to do this, or like, you should try this.
Yeah.
People instantly, you know, they back up, they feel that push and they back up. And so you're right. It is listening and kind of guiding them of, what do you think? Like, what do you think the answer is, or the right path is?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the question or the answer I hear the most is, I've tried that.
Yeah.
People love to say that. And I feel like it's an easy way out because, you know, people may have tried it with a certain person or with a counselor or with a therapist or with a trainer, but not every experience is going to be the same, you know, when you're trying that thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if you try one kind of ice cream and then you judge all ice cream based on that one flavor,
right.
You're never going to experience all the awesome flavors of ice cream.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's the question I encounter the most, I feel like. And, you know, so the business is evolving. It's more of a community now. And my partner, she always says, she's like, we're the underdog gym because we literally have everybody. We have guys that are fresh out of prison. We have Jehovah's Witnesses. We have atheists. We have Trump supporters. We have people who are on the other side, you know what I mean? The left. But when we come together for, like, for instance, a boxing class, all that shit goes out the window.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can cuss on here,
that's
but
okay.
It all goes out the window. Yeah. And we're just a team, you know, we're just working together and
that's
learning
awesome.
Self-defense. And, you know, and I try to keep, those conversations out of the gym,
sure,
you know, just so that when we convene, in a communal setting, it's a peaceful thing, you know, and we're all progressing
just
together.
A common goal. We can all set our differences aside.
Absolutely.
And then still be present in the moment and exercise and have fun and root each other on.
Yeah.
What a story. I mean, that is just absolutely amazing from just such a tough beginning to struggling with addiction to, you know, just having enough, like tired of being tired, really tired of going through that hustle every day of just like, oh gosh, like what do I have to do today to survive really? And then, you know, going into rehab, going to school, starting a business. I mean, that is just absolutely amazing progression. I can't even imagine, like, when you reflect back on that, it's just got to feel like there's so many, like, 10 movies, like, wrapped up in your life. Like, each chapter is just this amazing, amazing story. It just has to feel like, how does that feel when you look back on it? Does it feel like
just
one?
Yesterday, honestly. Like, I drive around town or whatever when I'm on my way to appointments or to meet a client or something, and I see places where I literally was putting heroin in my veins, and I'm like, damn, that was only a few years ago, and now I'm, like, you know, teaching children, you know, how to defend themselves who have been bullied. It's just interesting, you know, seeing what can happen if you really focus on one thing and, you know, have good intentions in your heart.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it. Cause a lot of people, you know, their motives might be revenge or, they do things out of spite or, you know, there's a lot of different reasons why people do things. But I think the reason why it worked this time for me is because my intentions were pure.
Yeah.
And you know, I asked for help, and surrender is a big thing that I think men in general have a hard time, coming to terms with. And, you know, I use surrender a lot when I talk to other men who are going through things. You know, the problem won't necessarily be the problem that they're coming to me for, and it'll be something completely different. And I'll know what it is, and they know what it is,
yeah.
but they're not willing to say it. And, you know, I use that word a lot. I'm like, look, surrender doesn't mean you're weak.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you have to, you know, give something. You do have to give something up, I guess, you know? And, that was the biggest thing for me, was like surrendering my ideals, like the whole gang life. It's ridiculous. There's no benefit from it.
It's a trap.
There's absolutely no benefit from being in a gang
right.
whatsoever. If anything, there's huge sacrifice involved.
Yeah.
And I think the media portrays it in a way that is attractive to young boys who don't have fathers.
Right.
And the gangs, they portray it as that. I've shot at people. I've stabbed people. I've been shot at. I've, you know, hurt more people than I can count on my right. hands and feet. And it benefited me in no way whatsoever.
Sure. Yeah. Because once I have to imagine, like, once there's the allure when, you know, what father figure, or it's like a family thing, like, you know, tradition in a way, but then when you're in, it's the same way with drugs. It's like you're doing these things that you feel awful about. So it brings you back to the thing that you're trying to not do or be a part
yeah.
of. And it's just like, oh, I'm a horrible person. So there's nothing else. I just have to do, I have to go back to this thing. And it's just, that's awful.
Well, and then there's the justification of it where it's like, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. If it's not you.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Anyway.
Like, when it comes to like selling drugs or whatever, you know, I hear a lot of people justify it as, well, someone's got a supply and demand. You know what I mean? And it's their choice if they use the drug.
Yeah.
And it's like, but you know, they're going to use the drug, and the chances they're going to overdose or rob somebody for the money, or,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Use their wife's welfare check to
yeah.
buy it or whatever it is. You know
right.
what I mean? You know, it's funny that I'm just finishing up Breaking Bad, and I just started watching it. Like, everybody's seen it already.
Yeah,
it's
forever.
An old show. And my girlfriend's like, hey, we have to watch this. And I'm like, all right. And I'm watching it, and like, one thing in the show is it shows like the domino effect or the butterfly effect of all his actions
yeah.
and how it affects people. But he enjoys the power and control so much
right.
that he continues to do it. Not because he needs the money anymore.
Right.
Because he's already got millions. But it's just like, I think that's the glamour of, you know, the thug life or the drug life or whatever, is that you get this power that you didn't have before.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything weak about not having power. I think there's actually power. And not having power.
Right. What you were saying before, like the surrendering, it's very vulnerable, and that is a very true place. And so that's, you know, it's so beautiful that, because we hear so much, like when Vanessa, who's involved with Vanessa Verdiak, who's involved with the McKinleyville Middle School,
yeah.
the health clinic there, which you have participated in with the boys group,
yeah.
that when she was first saying like, oh, we're doing a girls group. And it's like, yes, right on. Like, that's what we need, these girls groups. And then it was like, and we're doing a boys group. And it was like, yes, double right on. Because that's, we do such an injustice, a disservice to our boys in this country and our men, because it's like this message of, you know, toughen up, or, you know, boys will be boys. Like, we just write it off that like boys will just magically take care of themselves.
Yeah.
But they're just people. And so to have to, you know, toughen up, or don't be such a, you know, a little girl. Then you have to shove down those feelings and constantly have a tough upper lip and not be human or expose emotion. But then when you are able to, when it is okay to show emotion, it's like when you're drinking, or like when drugs are involved, or like, you know, it's just like bro time, like
yeah.
with alcohol or drugs, that's when it's okay to show emotion. So that vulnerability, that surrendering, there is a lot of courage that comes with that.
Yeah. You know, and it's, I don't know, it's an honor to be to be invited to the group, you know, the boys to men group, the Beyond Bullies group. Honestly, I was probably more nervous than the kids. I don't think the kids were nervous. I was super nervous going in there, because it's like I had to face me,
you
know, looking into the eyes of all those young men. And, you know, I asked them a few questions that I think baffled me when I was their age, was what I want to be when I grew up. I think that's something that is, you know, pressured onto us from a young age, that we have to figure out what we want to be.
Yeah.
And the only way to know that is to try a bunch of things and fail
yeah.
a bunch of times. And people are so afraid of failure because then they're wrong, you know, but it's not really wrong. It's just, you're getting to know what you're good at or what you're not good at, or
yeah.
how to do this thing, or how to, just like walking, you know,
yeah.
you see kids and they stand up and they get excited, their legs start shaking, and they fall and they cry.
Fall.
And they're like, and you're like, no, get back up, do it
again. Okay.
Like, you did good. You actually
yeah.
stood up. You know what I mean? But yeah, the other, going back to what you're saying about, you know, boys, having to like man up or tough, you know, toughen up or whatever. I think that's a huge reason why we're seeing like school shootings and stuff like that, because you have these young men who are being bullied. And if you look at the statistics as well, the majority of those men, the mass majority of the young men who are doing school shootings are from single parent homes. And that's one of the scariest things that we realize, you know what I mean? Is that it's hugely due to the fact that they don't know what a positive male role model is. Then you have these other boys who are bullying them in the school who have a negative male role model.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing, is it's like the negative male role models far outweigh the positive nowadays. And I'm wondering, like, why is that? You know what I mean? I've been doing a lot of research, especially in the black community. I think it was 1969 or 1960. It was like 25% of black homes had two parents. Now it's like 75% of black homes have one parent.
Right.
And so I'm wondering why these things are happening. A huge part of it is due to the welfare system, you know, as well as the prison system. You know, it's a huge, huge, big business. And, you know, I've been doing, talks, and I did a speech at this protest on the 31st of last month, you know, and, one of the biggest issues is that, you know, young men are being exposed to, so much negativity. And then we get these things from the media that say, you have to be this, this, that, and the third, and they're completely lost. And then we look at the police system, and the cops are paid more to write more citations.
Yeah.
And so it's like, they're citing people for things that aren't even necessarily wrong. You know,
and that a citation with a charge, a financial charge, and it's unable to be paid. And that just keeps, it just keeps growing, growing, growing. And then when it gets to a certain point, then it turns into a warrant.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, you're right in the multi-million dollar prison system.
You know, and, my sociology teacher, Ian McKelvey, he's a great guy. Awesome dude. At CR. And, he gave us a study that talked about, you know, welfare moms and how, you know, the resources are there, but they don't show up. And then it goes through all these studies and examples of different families and why they don't show up. You know, a lot of the time it's like, oh, they don't have childcare for the youngest. They have to take the oldest to a doctor's appointment, but they don't have a car. They have to take the bus, or they have three kids and they can't bring all three kids on the bus, or all these different obstacles that are in front of these young women who don't have a husband or a significant other to help support them. And then the children end up suffering as a result of it. You know, and a lot of these young men harbor resentments toward their mother. I definitely did harbor a lot of resentments toward my mother, and toward my father for years. And therapy's helped mend those resentments. Jim Hogue is my therapist, and I highly recommend him to any young man who is lacking a positive male role model. I highly attribute the majority of my success to my relationship with him over the last 3.5 years. And he's shown me some things that I wasn't aware of about myself, about my mother, my father. You know, he convinced me to, you know, call my mom and tell her that she ruined my life and that I forgive her and I don't resent her for it. And then call my father and say, hey, I don't resent you, for not being there. I love you and I hope to establish a relationship.
Yeah.
Crazy thing is the other day I was shopping for my oldest daughter and, I saw a book sitting there on some clothes. And I picked it up and it said my father's story, and I opened it up and it's a blank book, and you send it to your father, he writes the story and then he sends it back to you. So I just sent it to my dad. So hopefully I'll get that back soon.
And then I can imagine that could just keep going. Yeah, and it's like, absolutely. You give that to one of your daughters or both of them.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I just think, you know, I think having a father, whether they're in the home or not, I understand if the parents don't want to be together, that's their choice, but having a positive male role is one of the most important things for children, and a positive female role, of course.
Right.
I'm not taking anything away from that, but you know, if you look at homes, the majority are single parent.
Yeah.
You know, divorce rate is, I think it's 84%, I believe, somewhere around there.
Wow. Just a few years ago, it used to be 50%.
Yeah. It's 84% of marriages are initiated, by the way. I can't remember. It's sick. I have to look it up.
Right.
But,
what would you say? I mean, I can kind of glean some things from what you're saying, but as far as like your driving force, like what continues to be the thing, like in all the obstacles, as far as like society and like all the obstacles that a black man comes up against, just people in general, like our community. It's such a, I mean, we don't have a lot of diversity in this community. And so garnering allies, like what drives you in the face of all those obstacles and in society in general, quite honestly?
You know, I think it's, you know, several different variables. I mean, the main thing is desperation. You know, I think that's what got me here, was just being completely desperate.
Mm-hmm.
I try to be really careful with my words when I answer questions like this, just because I'm really passionate about certain things. I don't think that children should be coddled. I don't think that's a healthy way to help them grow at all. I know that when my family stopped enabling me as a drug addict is when the growth started.
Sure.
So when I was cut off from society, cut off from my family, institutionalized, and the family, the gang family or the street family that I did have wasn't an adequate source of love, I came to the realization that I had to create my own community and my own family. So that's what I've done. You know, my biological family is still there, but, you know, family I have now is, you know, my clients, you know, my circle at the gym, you know, my business, you know, my, I created, you know, I have my daughters, the woman that I'm with, Jamila, you know, so I think, yeah, desperation is definitely what pushes me. I never want to go back, ever. I never want to backpedal or go backwards or back into that same cycle. And I just want to be a beacon. I try to be a beacon for the people that don't have a light in their life. You know, whether it's young men or young women who are in the street or on drugs, or in any, going through any type of hardship, it's very possible that you're living at your minimum, capability or your minimum capacity, and you have utmost potential that you're unaware of because you can't see past the surface.
Sure.
And that's the biggest thing for me, is it's like, I've come to the realization that I'm not my skin color. I'm not what race I am. I'm half black. So it's like, I'm not even a black man. I'm not even a white man. I'm just a man. You know what I mean? And I think, taking the race out of it gives us a lot of power, because it's just a human issue. All these issues are just human issues.
Yeah.
So I think my driving force mainly is just desperation. You know, before I was desperate to get out of the situation I was in, and now I'm desperate to help people out of that situation. So I think that's just what it is.
Yeah, it's a powerful realization in a way of like, just, do you feel worried about going backwards, or you just don't want to go? You're saying like, you just don't want to, you don't want to lose any momentum. You just want to keep going forward.
Well, and you know, I've lost momentum in certain aspects of my life, but then I've gained it in others. You know, it's really hard to put this stuff in words. I believe that I'll never go back. One of the reasons why I pulled away from NA and AA is because they call themselves addicts.
Mm.
But if you're not actively using, then you're not that anymore.
Right.
So I refuse to call myself an addict when
right,
I used
to
attend meetings. Yeah. I saw people say that, and then, you know, people would go out and relapse and they'd be like, oh, well, he's an addict. And I'm like, well, you guys kept calling him an addict. So of course that gets brainwashed into his mind. Not to say that the programs are bad, because I learned a lot from them.
Sure.
I still have friends that are in recovery that I respect and love, and I support them in their choice to attend meetings, but I don't need a meeting to stay sober.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just need to be aware of the darkness that's out there and not feed into it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I believe that labels have a lot of power.
Sure.
You know, people say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And I don't think that's
so
true.
Words are so powerful.
There's a lot of power in the tongue. And, I mean, people can call me whatever name they want. I'm not going to react. I've been called the N word. I've been called Oreo, mutt, half breed, everything you can think of. When I was younger, I used to react. Nowadays, I have way too much to lose to react to the petty things. In the words of Drake, he says that. And I believe it. You know what I mean? Like, I do believe that, you know, Einstein was correct in his statement when he said that, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Sure.
And, you know, this one goes out to the addicts out there, or the NA, AA scene. You know, if you continue to call yourself a name, as bad as addict, and the chances are you're going to remain that, you know. So one of my favorite things to do is, I just posted a video actually recently on my, I think my Instagram, of me doing my workouts while screaming positive affirmations at the top of my lungs.
Yeah.
People always ask me in the gym, they're like, we never see you train. I was like, because I train alone.
Yeah.
Because if you saw me train, you'd think I was crazy. You might not come to the gym anymore.
I might lose some customers.
Yeah, because I literally scream my affirmations, whether it's prosperity affirmations for money or alpha affirmations to affirm, you know, my alpha mind state, you know, whatever it is, I literally scream them at the top of my lungs.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, I know that, you know, when you practice a habit for 21 days, it becomes part of you. So I do it every day.
Okay. You know? What are some of the affirmations that speak loudest to you? I guess lately, maybe they change.
So, I mean, I just go on YouTube, and that's you know, people wonder how I learned what I learned. And the majority of stuff I learned was self-taught online. A lot of it was YouTube channels. I would follow life coaches or fitness professionals. Or there's this one YouTube in particular. It's called I Am Affirmations. And it's like, I am prosperity. I am one with the energy of abundance, you know, this, that, and the third, whatever. And it's all, you know, programming your mind to believe that you are these things instead of that negative self-talk.
Right.
So I think you just have to find it for yourself. Everybody's journey is different. It's just like if I read a book and you read a book, you're going to get a different understanding than I am based on your perspective.
Sure.
And your experiences. So but I think the one that resonates, the few that resonate with me the most, is that I am powerful. I am abundant. I'm affluent. You know, just things that I wouldn't call myself before, you know.
Right. They might not feel genuine at first, but
yeah, thank you.
They might not feel genuine at first. It kind of, but you have to keep saying it, keep believing it. And then it's like, all right, that is it. That, and then you realize like, oh, I'm there. I just got there. Like, that's great. And then I can go on to the next thing.
Well, and not being so critical of ourselves. Yeah. I mean, you know, one thing I'm having a hard time with lately is, you know, people keep reminding me to be humble and remember where I came from. And it's like, I don't need people to remind me.
You're very clear on that.
Every day when I leave home, so I live in Arcata and my business is Eureka. Every day when I leave home, I drive past the housing place. I take the back way because that's where I see it, of where I first put heroin in my veins. And people don't know that. They're like, why do you take the back way? And I take the back way so I can drive by that spot every single day to remind myself. I don't need a reminder. I remind myself so that I know, you know, where it all started, all the drama, all the heartache, all the pain, you know. I was in a coma for 6 days from heroin. I was, my heart stopped for 6 minutes. You know what I mean? I went through a lot of things because of that drug, or just drugs in general. So I don't need help reminding me where I've come from, you know? And, I feel like when people say that, they're trying to bring me down to where they are.
Yeah. And right.
I'm not doing that. Like, right. I'm not going there.
Yeah. You're very clear on the memories and you are reminding yourself, and it's just like, yeah, that's where it is. Not going to forget it. I don't know how anyone could forget that. And then it's just like, I'm going this way. I'm going to the to the front.
Yeah. And, you know, I have a lot of associate, I don't know if I call them friends, but people that I'm associated with that, it's like, they're so close to getting it, so close to like having it figured out, but there's that one thing that they won't let go of. Mm-hmm. And usually it's pride based, or fear based, which are really close. Pride and fear are really, closely intertwined. And, you know, for me, I think the big thing is like, I don't have the biggest, nicest car. I don't own my home. I don't have the biggest, nicest house. You know, I have my own physical insecurities, you know, and I feel like people think that they have to have these certain things in order to be whole, and that's not what it's about at all.
Yeah.
It's not about having things or, you know, being a mogul or whatever. It's about how many people are you really helping in your day-to-day life. That's the most satisfying feeling you'll ever experience in your entire life. And until you get to that point to where you're helping like as many people as you possibly can daily, you'll never know true fulfillment. And I think that's a sacrifice a lot of people make for, you know, the big career and the shiny car and all that, is they're so it's focused things. On the things, yeah, instead of the people.
Yeah.
I think the people are the most important part.
Yeah. When I was...
You know, a relationship, a friendship can last, you know, your whole lifetime, but a car only lasts, you know, however many years until the engine blows up.
Exactly. You're not going to have, like, a memory. Even if you took a trip in your brand new car, you're not going to remember the car. You're going to remember the drive and, like, maybe the music and the laughs and the people and the things that you saw. You're not going to think of, like, oh, that car was so helpful. There's something in when I took the wellness coaching training, there is a big piece on knowing what your character strengths are. And so there's a quiz, this VIA character strengths quiz. And I'm a huge proponent of it. And so it gives you a list of, it ranks your strengths 1 to 25. And so the top 5 to 6 are considered your signature character strengths. And when people take this quiz, when I took mine, it's not surprising what those are, the top 5 to 6. And it's also not surprising. It's very human nature to look at the bottom and say, oh, I knew I wasn't very good at those things. You know, we know ourselves. But the thing is, with those character strengths at the top, when you can start to use those, give yourself permission to use those as strengths, and to also, so that's the first step, is to recognize what they are, to give yourself permission to use them, to start to use them more every day. And then this ultimate life of joy, not this fleeting happiness, but this that we're all trying to get to, joy, is using those character strengths in service of others. And so that has been just kind of a big game changer for me, is just like, oh yeah, I can use those strengths. I feel like I do that in my job every day as a wellness coach, my strengths of like curiosity and love and kindness and hope. And so yeah, it's, as you're saying, you know, in service of others is really that life purpose.
I don't want to, you know, I feel like the way we're programmed is when we say stuff like that, it sounds super cliche, like helping people. I want to help people. I want to make a difference. And it's like, Miss America. It's like, I want to change the world. I want world peace. And it's like, no, really, like it's actually a possibility. It really is. But because we're looking at all the problems instead of the solutions, we lose sight of the goal. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's the biggest thing. You know, like I said, you know, most people will say, I tried that, but they haven't tried it a different way. You know what I mean? And right. I think, that's, you know, where human beings fall short. And the way to get around that is to focus on strengths. Yeah, it's really important.
What do you say when you said earlier, when you're suggesting something and someone says, I tried that? What do you say?
Well, I immediately roll my eyes in my head. You know, that's immediately what I do. I give an example So with personal training, with my gym, I give everybody the first session free, as well as the trainers that are the independent contractors that are under the umbrella of Alpha Fitness Clubs, because they're not employees. I encourage them to give their first session free to see if they're a good fit. Also to kind of like vet the client to know if they're even a good match.
Sure.
Because I don't believe in just, excuse me, taking people's money.
Yeah,
and randomly, training them. Yep. And it's like, you know, every time you hear their voice, it's like nails on a chalkboard because you don't like the person or whatever. I don't want that to be our MO. I want it to be, okay, are we a good fit? If not, I can refer you to another trainer or another gym where you might be. And I've done that before. And one of my mentors, he told me that it's bad business. He's like, just take the money. And I'm like, yeah, I don't really want the money that much. I'd rather work with someone that I actually enjoy being around and want to help than someone who is just negative and dragging their feet, doesn't want to do the work.
Yeah.
And so one of the main things that I've found is, I don't want to talk about it negatively, an obstacle as a personal trainer is you can't control what they put in their body.
Yeah.
You can't control the diet, the nutrition. That's their part of the work, right? And they, you know, have to do the workouts, but I tell them straight up, I said, look, I'm not going to have a client that comes and does a 6-month training program with me and then doesn't get results because they didn't follow the nutrition advice. Then they go off and someone says, oh, have you ever worked with a personal trainer? And they say, yeah, I worked with Tyler Parr and it didn't work out. I didn't see the results I wanted to. And it's because you didn't do your 80% of the work, which is nutrition. Sure. 80% of it is nutrition, or 75-80. And then blame it on me as a trainer.
Yeah.
You know, but that being said, I've never gotten a bad Yelp review, which is great.
Yeah, because you're putting in that work of piecing together, you know, the right trainer for the person, you know, and vice versa. And so then it's like you have a better connection. And so then if you have that better connection, then the rapport is built, the trust is building. And then it's like, oh, yeah, you're telling me that nutrition is really important. Then I believe you. So, you know, that's really helpful to take that approach. Well,
and, you know, I think people, they doubt their ability to like fast.
Sure.
To fast for 3 days or intermittently fast for 16 hours a day. Okay. Or they say, I can't do that, or that's I won't crazy. Do it, or I won't give
what
up
What do you
this.
Mean, don't eat?
Yeah. You know, so I've seen that a lot. I've seen that being an excuse. And for me, I know where excuses lead. They lead to poverty. They lead to self-harm. They lead to drug use. They lead to abuse.
Yeah.
They lead to, like, down a dark road. So
taking the ownership. I just had a conversation over the weekend with a friend versus excuse versus reasons.
Yeah.
And so we actually looked it up. And so excuses are things like, you know, my dog ate my homework, where the reason is I left my homework on the table in a place where the dog could get it.
Yeah.
And the dog ate it. So it's like the ownership of
it. Was the homework even done before the dog ate it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, you're right. Excuses of like, oh, there's nothing I could do about it. Like this very hands up, like, there's nothing I can do, versus like taking the ownership of those things, which stinks. You know, that's a really hard place to like, oh gosh, like I need to do this, or I need to learn how to do this. It's, you know, it's hard. It's a hard look at ourselves.
A lot of it is, you know, procrastination is like bred into us. I mean, look at our cell phones. They do pretty much everything for us. If I didn't have my cell phone, I don't know what I would do. My business would be in shambles.
Yeah.
Because it pretty much does everything for me. My schedule, all my contacts, you know, I don't have to remember anybody's numbers.
Yeah.
You know, pictures for posting, videos for posting, editing, all the stuff is on my phone. It's super easily accessible. Procrastination is probably one of my biggest weaknesses.
Sure.
And it's definitely hurt my business in the past. Not so much anymore.
Yeah.
Because I've realized the negative effects of it. But, definitely procrastination. I'll say, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Or, I'll do it this time. Or let's reschedule. Or, you know, I've done that before and I've seen the negative results of it. So I'm just really proactive about what I do. Even my loan, the loan during the shutdown, I didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
So I put it off.
Sure.
And I didn't end up getting it. And then I realized, oh, snap, I need this loan. And so luckily I got it through Redwood Capital Bank. They were really awesome to walk me through it. And then I did it. And it wasn't even that hard. I hate paperwork.
Sure.
I hate paperwork so much. I hate filling out any applications or anything like that.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. I'm really hands-on. Like, I like to work with my hands. But once I did it, I was like, man, I should be doing this.
Right.
Everything.
Yeah. Like years ago, I felt like I was the only one in the whole world that procrastinated and had this like deep, dark shame about it. And then I started reading articles and I was like, oh, if people are writing articles on procrastination, then this is probably a bigger problem than just me. And then talking to more and more people, it's like shedding a light on this deep, dark secret. And it's like, oh yeah, lots of people procrastinate.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, just figuring a way around it. What, in your opinion, what can one person do to improve their corner of the world?
That's a big question. Start with you. Start with you as a person. Improve yourself. Self-improvement is the key to everything. If you improve yourself, I think the best place to start is with physical health, because you got to understand your brain lives in your body. You live in your brain, right? So if your body isn't healthy, your brain isn't in a healthy home.
Yeah.
Just like if you go home and your bed's not made and your house is a disaster, the trash isn't taken out, your dog pooped on the floor, and you just leave it and you just live in that, that's what your brain feels like when you don't take care of your body.
Yeah.
So I believe that, you know, health and wellness, physical fitness, eating healthy, those are all really important building blocks. And then once you do those things, once you improve those things, then your brain will kind of follow and it'll want to do more.
Yeah.
It'll be, you know, because if you go home and your house is a disaster and you have a big pile of paperwork or mail you haven't opened, you're going to feel so overwhelmed. You're just going to crawl in your bed and try to sleep and be depressed.
Where do I even start? Nothing I do is going
to
make a difference.
Exactly. Or drink yourself to sleep. But if you just start with one little thing, okay, let's open one piece of mail today and we'll pay that bill and then we'll throw it away and then we'll go to the next one tomorrow. And you just start small, little tiny things you know, over time. Like
turns the circle. That's I say that frequently, of like that cycle of stress of like, I don't get good sleep, so I wake up tired. I have tons of coffee and like sugar and processed food, and then I feel like crap, and then I have a slump, so I eat more drink more coffee. It's been a really hard day, so I drink at night. I get crappy sleep, and then round and round that circle goes. And that's like, you know, it feels impossible sometimes to how do you turn that around? But like you're saying, it's just anything. Pick anything, you know, have one less cup of coffee. So maybe you get a little bit better sleep or whatever. And you can slowly start to turn that circle in the other direction. So then it's like when you're feeling stressed, you don't react by having a cigarette or a drink. It's like you take a few deep breaths and then it's like, oh, I can take a walk. And then, you know, slowly it turns the other way.
Zig Ziglar talks about it. He says, just take a walk around the block every day.
Yeah.
And then take a walk around two blocks and then three and then a mile and then 3 miles. And you know what I mean? And you just slowly build up from there. And I challenge everybody, whoever's listening to this, to actually do that. If you don't do anything physical as far as fitness goes, you know, hold off breakfast for one more hour and go for a walk. You know what I mean? You know, look up, you know, the benefits of intermittently fasting, look up the benefits of a vegan diet, look up the benefits of a keto diet, look up the benefits of a carnivore diet. Like, look up the benefits of these different diets and try one.
Yeah, and see, and if you tried it before and it didn't work out, you're different. You're a different person than you were when you tried it the last time, and something might click with you this time. It's like, fall down 7, get up 8. Like, it's okay how many times we fall down. You just got to get up the next time. So just one last question. What is your wish for Humboldt County? If I could magically grant you one wish.
So I don't wish. I don't wish because I don't think that it's worth it. You know what I mean? That's one thing.
I've never had anyone say that of that question. Most people are like, oh, that's a great question.
I'm going to make it happen. Whatever it is that I want to see, I'm going to make it happen. So I guess what that is, you know, I'm working on building I can't give away too much information because it's a business plan.
Right. Of course.
So I'm working on a community center.
That's awesome.
And it's going to be in Eureka, because that's where I feel like, you know, a lot of the root issues in our community are.
Yeah.
You know, it's very condensed. It's a more urban, area.
It's the most city we have.
Yeah. It's the most city we've had. We have a lot of huge issues in Eureka. And I feel like Eureka is the hub for all of our really huge issues. And I feel like if we focus on that place first and slowly, you know, move to other places, then we'll be able to, you know, see the benefits of that. And so, you know, I guess it's not a wish. It's what I'm asking the community for is to, help me be of service to you so that I can, you know, benefit everyone in the community the best to my abilities. And just keep watching, you know, keep posted. There's good things in the works. I want to give a shout out to, John McManus, the director of Waterfront Recovery, for all he's done in my life. Jim Hogue, my therapist, Navina Bird, my yoga instructor, Corbin Page, and Mark the Hammer Wyman, my boxing coaches. West Vega, too. West Vega is my partner in the Alpha Season shows we put on, their little tire boxing matches. All those people had a huge part, and they're about to have a huge part in what's happening next. So
that's great. Yeah. And then anything, we'll put links at the end of this episode for whatever you would like to promote. And so anything else, like, you know, the name of your fitness center, like anything else that you would like to promote or want people to check out?
I would definitely check out alphafitnessclubs.com with an S on the end of clubs, because I want more than one. I believe in positive affirmations. Yeah. I've stated that before. Check out our Instagram, Alpha Fitness Clubs, on Instagram. Tyler J. Parr is my Instagram as well. What else? Oh, the Keto Chef Meal Prep, Glenn Farmer. If you are overweight and you want to lose a pound a day, 30 pounds in a month, the best way to do it is the keto diet. It's not for everybody, but I highly suggest trying it if you are obese. The other one is Natasha Fisher, I believe her last name is, One Life Healing. She does vegan meal prep if you're into plant-based. So those are two great options. I definitely suggest checking those out for nutrition. About it.
That's awesome. I really appreciate your time, Tyler, and just everything that you've shared, your openness, just courage to tell your story, and that I'm stoked that you're in our community. Like, that's very positive force in our community, and it's just like sky's the limit for you. So great. I'm happy to have met you, and I'm really pumped that you're here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you.
Great. Thanks.
I want to thank Tyler for his time, his honesty, his vulnerability, and his suggestion of starting with you as a way to change your corner of the world is right on, in my opinion. It helps everything. Starting with me is the only way anything is going to happen or change in my life. During discussions of institutionalized racism, mass incarceration, and white privilege, the things I'm doing to start with me is to keep reading and learning all the things I should have known already for a really long time. I can talk to my friends and coworkers. I can have difficult conversations with my child. I can also do my best to take care of myself, which for me is good night's sleep, taking walks, drinking water, meditating, having some fun, connecting with loved ones, because that allows me to be patient and have more capacity to learn and to be empathetic and humble. We're all just doing our best right now, which looks different for all of us and is constantly changing depending on what we're going through. So I encourage you to think about what you can do and how you can be part of the good. The Priority Care Center is located on Harrison Ave in Eureka, and we provide primary care, mental health counseling, care coordination, wellness coaching to people with the following insurance types: Anthem PPO, Blue Shield HMO, Anthem Blue Cross HMO, and Blue Lake Rancheria. Thank you for listening to Humboldt HealthCast, brought to you ad-free by the Humboldt Independent Practice Association. Our host is me, Juliet Ferry. Our editor is Joseph Burkett. Original music created by Justin Locke. Our producers are Irina Estes, Jessica Osborne Staffness, Mary Nickel, Patty Torres, and Vanessa Verdiak. Special thanks to Rosemary Denouten for making this project possible. Please share, subscribe, rate, and comment. We are always looking to improve and welcome your feedback. Be part of the good, Humboldt.